Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, earlier on, I had a conversation with Advocate Darlene Pofu, who, as you may know already, has moved from the EFF, who was formerly EFF chairperson, has now made an announcement that he's going to the MK party. I'd like to hear from you. Really, really would like to hear your take on this one. But we'll share the conversation with you in a short while. But, you know, let me hear from you, your sense of what this looks like to you. You may have also seen the tweets from Julius Malema, who is the commander-in-chief of the EFF, leader of the EFF, saying, well, there are two more who are on their way out. One who sings, I'm paraphrasing now, one who sings very well. And of course, I mean, when he speaks of someone who sings very well, we can all make the assumption of who he's speaking about. Your sense of the kind of movements that we're seeing at the EFF, and especially if you are an EFF member, what's going on there? What's happening at the EFF? You know, as someone who's voted for the EFF, maybe you're not formally a member of the EFF, but you voted for the EFF. How does all of this make you feel? And if you are a member of the MK party or have joined the MK party recently, or you voted for the MK party, is this encouraging when you see sort of the exodus from the EFF to the MK party? I would love to hear from you on 086-000-0959. I would also love to hear your voice notes on 063-688-0959. Should the EFF worry? Do you think it should worry, particularly when you look at the fact that we're going to the local government elections? I'd love to hear from you. Advocate Mpofu, thank you so much for your time. Let's take it back to before the elections, where you speak of a meeting and a presentation that you gave to a delegation of sorts around August, where you predicted that the ANC was going to fall below 40%, and I think you mentioned 38% to be precise. Did you have any predictions for how the EFF were going to do?
No, not really. But that discussion was done in the context of what I was projecting would happen if we had a combined front, for lack of a better word, of progressive organizations, which would then either contest individually or collectively, against the ANC. Mm-hmm. Because my theory has always been that you'd have, which is basically what happened, you'd end up with three blocks. You might have 100 parties, but you'll end up with three blocks, which is the ANC, you know, the DA-led moonshot, what. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have what I was advocating for, which was a patriotic front. Mm. So the idea was then that the ANC would be then reduced, and then it would either have to go with the right-wing group or the left-wing group.
Yeah.
As we now know, that's what turned out to be.
Yeah. You know, you remember probably around the same time you were doing the study, the ANC was doing its own studies, was conducting its own studies, which predicted itself that they were going to fall below 40%. Did you consider talking to them as well while you were doing this, the fact finding mission and considering the options of coming together as a grouping?
No, there would have been no point of that, because the ANC was it might have had its internal polling showing its reality, but its posture, which, by the way, is a posture, I would do the same if I was in that position. its posture was that it's going to win outright, there's no problem, and it doesn't need to talk to anyone. It didn't even want to talk about coalitions, if you remember this. But, what's the relevance of that? Because they're going to win the election.
So what then was the plan? The plan was to sort of come together as what you later called and coined progressive parties, and not necessarily go into the elections together. What was the plan? To go after the elections and talk afterwards again, or form something before the elections?
No, my plan, as I say, I called it loosely the Patriotic Front.
Okay.
My plan was to do this. This is, remember, the first meeting we held was, I think it was in August, on the 20-something of August, and the next one was in October, on the 3rd of October. And I was chairing all those meetings, and the idea was to do it before the election. Remember, at that time, the election would have been 9 months or so away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it became clear towards the end of the year that in a time of closing in on us, and therefore a compromise position was held, which was that, let's go and contest a separate organization, and then we will revisit the discussion afterwards. But ideally, it should have been to go under one umbrella ship.
It's
like
really
what they've just done in Botswana, for example.
Yes. It's one thing to have a plan, and clearly, former President Jacob Zuma speaks of the fact that he was planning and working on the party before he made the announcement. But to be fair and honest, did he expect the kind of outcome that we saw with the elections? Did you yourself expect the kind of victory that he achieved?
Yes, I did. In fact, well, I probably expected it. As it was, I think former President Zuma expected a lot more. You'll remember that he was talking about a two-thirds majority, which, by the way, to be fair to him, was not literally meaning that MK is on its own, but I suppose he was talking about what one might call the broad progressive forces here, which if you look at the numbers, it nearly happened because if you just take ANC, EFF, MK, I think that those three came up to 64, which is within range of the 67%.
And so, you know, when you have a look at that projection and you anticipate that you're going to do well, why then was there a need to, again, bring back the forces that didn't quite stick after the elections? Because he had done really well.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Well, the question is, after the elections and the results came through, which were really good for MK Party, we also saw an attempt, just from our side, we saw an attempt to bring back those forces to form something. It didn't happen. It didn't work out. First of all, why didn't it work out, and why was there a need if the MK Party was doing so well on its own?
No, but the MK Party wasn't doing well. The MK Party only got 15%. That's the reality.
It's true, but I mean, look, it's a new party, Advocate Mpofu, and the MK Party did do very well. I mean, we all know that.
Yeah. No, it did well. I mean, but the point, I'm not talking about doing well. I'm talking about taking power.
Yes.
You know, the only way you can take power is to be above the 50% threshold.
Got you. Okay.
And so the point was that should it happen that no single party gets above that threshold, which is actually what happened, there would be a need for this consolidation as opposed to a consulting with the right wing, which is what eventually happened. But we were not fortune tellers. We wouldn't have known that that's how it would turn out. We didn't even know the exact percentages. It was all projections.
So the Progressive, which became the Progressive, I think it was Progressive Front.
Caucus.
How come it didn't stick?
No, it did, because it is still, as it happens, by the way, it is still operational in Parliament. But, we would have wanted it to be operational both in Parliament and outside of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
But, politics doesn't work in straight lines. So that is still what we are hoping to achieve. And in fact, that's one of the reasons I've made the move that I've made, so that I can hopefully try and reignite that, because it's something I feel particularly passionate about, the issue of unity of black people or progressive. It's not something to do with the election for decades. It's something that I've always felt strongly about. Even in the EFF, I was once the head of something called Special Projects, which meant going around. We were talking to the PAC, we were talking to ASAPO, we were talking to all sorts of people to try and see to what extent we can cooperate. You might remember in the first manifesto launch of the EFF, all those organizations were there on stage because of those efforts. Yeah. So it's just my own passion is the issue of unity.
And so, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, yes, in reality, in Parliament, there, you know, there's collaboration and cooperation. Why is it not that way outside of Parliament?
Okay, well, it doesn't work like that. You might say, why don't we have the land? It's because you have to work on it. It's not something that just happens. Yeah. So it might happen this year, it might happen next year, it might happen in 10 years. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that those people who have, who feel that it must happen, must work on it and work on it and work on it until it happens.
Yeah.
Especially if you believe, like I do, that we will never really be able to, forget about the percentages, we'll never be able to overcome the enemies of our freedom if we are not united. I've said in one of the addresses that literally for the past 400 years or so, since 1652, the enemies and colonizers never had to fight us as one united force. They always had to fight this one and that one and that one and that one, and that's why we were defeated. And therefore, the time must come, will come at some stage, where we achieve that unity. Yeah. Mm.
You say you were, you know, part of the formation of the MK Party with former President Jacob Zuma. You had some sort of foresight about how well you're going to do. Why now? What's taken you so long to move to the MK Party?
No. No, it's not about move. There was no intention to move anything. Mm-hmm. It was, when you unite, you're not moving, you unite. Or when you, whether you're going to do it as a broad front. I mean, I was part of the UDF. The UDF was a United Democratic Front of 500 organizations, okay? So there was no need for anyone to move anywhere, but that front decided that its mission was going to be to go this way. So the issue of moving was had nothing to do with this. That was, everyone could have done what we wanted to do from wherever they were.
Yeah, but at some point you've come to this decision, meaning you recognize the fact that this then is the vehicle where you can exercise some of your vision, and you can, you know, maybe realize it in a different way, maybe more quicker, yes. So there must have been a turning point where you thought you probably need a different type of a vehicle, or this is the vehicle that will assist you in your dream.
Yes. Yeah, okay. No, that's a better approach, yeah. So you see the difference, for example, between the pre-election period and this period now,
yes,
the post-election period, is obviously the fact that, for example, some of the people in the EFF, when we were broaching this idea,
mm-hmm.
said, and understandably so, look, I love this idea, but everyone must then collapse under the EFF,
mm-hmm.
because the EFF is the largest of the people around the table, which is true. That's no longer the case now.
Mm-hmm.
Post the election, the if we had the same meeting now that we had in August last year, the people who would have the largest vote would be MK. So that's a crucial difference. Reality then and the reality now,
mm-hmm.
and all that then comes with its own dynamics and the possibilities change. I mean, we could have gone there and MK could have had 2%,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a different reality. Or MK could have had 60%, it would have been a different reality. So the crucial turning point was the election.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point I was making. The turning point and the political reality was not brought about by me or any leader. It was brought about by the people of South Africa, mm-hmm. when they voted the way they did.
Got you. You know, you've had quite a long time in politics as a political player, 50 plus years, I believe. What, you know, personally, what drives all your political decisions?
Well, as I said, one of them is it's this issue of uniting against what I would describe broadly as the enemy, the causes for the misery of our people, and injustice, you know, and, there's nothing that keeps me awake at night than injustice. That's why some people always ask me, you know, how do you differentiate between your career, legal career, and your politics? And I said, for me, I don't even think there's a difference. Because both, the question of injustice, the injustice in a courtroom is dealt with in a particular way, but the social injustice which happens outside of the courtroom on a daily basis. So for me, it's just, if you ask me to make it all up, I'd say it's my abhorrence for injustice in any form or shape.
I understand logically why you made the decision to move to this particular vehicle, but was it a difficult decision for you?
Yeah, in a way it was, because as I said, the initial plan was really for it didn't involve anyone moving anywhere. It was a question of pulling in the same direction. Yeah, but you know, the very subjective factors and objective factors, that the objective factors, for example, being the election results, what I've just discussed. But there are also other subjective factors about what I feel personally to be the best vehicle. It might well not be, that's my view. I'm entitled to my view. But that, so I considered that the vision that is now being espoused by MK as the, if you like, the driver of that unity movement is one that needs to be supported actively and not from a distance.
Advocate Mpofu, all the best, and thank you so much for your time this evening.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Advocate Dali Mpofu, former chair of EFF, now a new member of the MK party.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.